Your ride home.
Oh, snap. No, they didn't. A boneless rib sandwich.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Braves win today. That's good news. Team USA also won today, Mike.
Yes, completely manhandling the South Sudanese. Real quick, Carl, we're going to bring in Bob Rathbun from one of your co-workers
this now. This is true.
From Valley Sports South, along with the Stinger, to just real quickly touch on the game itself. Stinger, what the heck? Bowling ball beating up on those poor Sudanese over there in Paris.
I'll tell you what, Bob. Steph Curry must have left his jump shot over in the States.
Ice cold Stinger, you are tripping. Steph Curry trying to, what do you think, he was curling nail, putting on a dribbling display?
LeBron looked like Reggie White, Bob.
Oh, if you didn't see it, a poor Sudanese man, about 85 pounds, LeBron just drove right through him like he was Dick Butkus.
That's right, Bob.
He gave the okey-doke.
Yeah, it's like he was standing in his way for the buffet, Bob.
Our hair transplant. Hey, there you have it, Carl. We beat the Sudan, and we threw up a three-point shot up by 14. A classless win over a third-world country. Back to you.
Good to hear. Team USA wins. Baba had nothing to do with that. But no, man, you're right. They did try to bully him, though.
Yeah, man.
They really did.
And we were talking about this during the broadcast, watching it. It's just like, run your offense. You know, they sat Joel Embiid because it was a bad matchup for him. So Embiid did not play in this one. He's been getting booed by the French for not playing for France, being now a naturalized American citizen. But they kept him out. Get some of the younger guys in. Let's go with some speed and some speed and some ball handling. Carl, I think Stinger was right, though. Steph Curry was almost like he was trying to prove a point that didn't exist.
Let the jumper in the States.
I mean, it was terrible. Steph Curry was horrible in this game. But then later on, they literally got to the point they were just old and angry, and they started shoving these guys around. It was bully ball.
All right. You ever just sit around and you think to yourself about certain things? Like, you know, you just – mind's wandering, right?
Oh, when you come around to your partner's way of thinking?
Quiet over there. So I was sitting here at Hooters, which is where we're at, Mall of Georgia.
Yep.
And I was just, thinking about the wide receivers on this team. And as today practice played out again, and I was sitting here, and I said to Turtle, I turned to Mike, and I said, okay, you got Drake London on one side, and they both shook their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, it looks like Moore, okay, is going to be the slot guy, Rondale Moore, because he's been getting a lot of snaps with the ones, right, first team. And then I said, okay, you got Darnell Mooney on the other side.
Well, we paid Darnell Mooney like he's Lynn Swan. He's got to be a wide receiver too.
And then I said, you got Pitts. And they both shook their heads. And I said,
Right. Why
am I concerned about this?
Because it's not a great wide receiver room. Nobody in this friggin' town, unless you were a Bears fan, knew who Darnell Mooney was. Hello, Darnell. And so this guy, hopefully, will go for something special, will be that wide receiver, too.
Should I be worried about
this? Yes. It's a very thin wide. It's a very weak wide receiver room with a bunch of journeymen.
You see what happened. I said that, and he goes in. You see what happened. I'm sitting here wandering. My mind's wandering. I'm like, is this going to work? And he's like, you should have come around a long time ago.
You were contemplating this, but you've come to the same conclusion. It's kind of a meh wide receiver room.
I didn't say that. You said that. I said I'm curious, is this going to work with McLeod still working with the number ones ahead of Moore?
Right.
Ray McLeod.
There was a second tier of wide receivers we could have drafted in the second round. I mean, obviously we went through defense, and that's cool. But we could have spent that Darnell Mooney money on somebody like, I don't know, Jadeveon Clowney, who lounded up 85 in Charlotte.
Yeah. I mean,
if we're looking for a defensive edge, a baller on a budget.
Clowney's not going to do anything. I'm more concerned
coming
with
off 8.5 sacks thanks to Chuck Smith in Baltimore.
He did do that. How productive is this wide receiving core going to be?
Only time will tell, Carl, but if you're going by the statistics, one guy was something the first year of Justin Fields in Chicago and hasn't really done much since. Ray McLeod and Darnell Mooney, and you mentioned it, Rondale Moore. And if one of those guys goes down, it's Kadarrell Hodge again. Kadarrell Hodge is like, you know what I mean? He's like a set of luggage you can't get rid of. We've had Kadarrell Hodge in the attic now. Seems like forever here with the Falcons.
Should I be worried about this?
That's a concern.
404-726-0929. Listen, I haven't been worried at all. And I was sitting here minding my own business, and then Mike's like, you should have thought about this earlier. Come on, Rondale Moore. Listen, and by the way, McLeod's looked good in practice.
Right.
Moore has looked good. We're just telling you, Ray Ray's been the guy down the sideline catching these passes from both Penix and Cousins.
We haven't had a 4-3 guy since Julio in his earlier days. Mooney is technically from his combine a 4-3 guy. He'll be a couple years back. But we've got a lot of guys that, you know, that are they're more like – you see them as invisible as slot guys.
Okay, let me
That's what gets
this.
Me back. I think Zach Robinson uses Pitts as more of a wide receiver.
All right, so let me ask you this. Doesn't Drake London and Pitts make these guys better?
Yes, 100%. Bijan Robinson makes them better the same way he makes Ayuk and Debo better in San Francisco. If you use our boy, Bijan, the way they use McCaffrey, then everybody succeeds.
All right, you can hit us up. By the way, find us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes. And
batting fourth for the Braves.
Follow the radio show.
Chris Chambliss. Chris, you want to speak?
Yeah, can I give you guys some stats real quick to back up Carl's concerns?
Okay. Mine was
these were my concerns. How do they become Carl's concerns?
I was just in a trance here. I was thinking about things.
So, Ray McLeod and our boy Mooney, what's up, Darnell? And our boy Rondell Moore, in their careers combined,
80 touchdowns,
15.
Oh, that's not.
I'll
80
give
touchdowns.
You.
Okay, so you're
so
you're being a jerk. You're being a jerk right now. 80 touchdowns.
For comparison, you look at a true wide receiver number two like T. Higgins.
Yes.
He has. By himself,
yes,
25.
He's had Joe Burrow to throw him the
yes,
football.
Yes, but he's a real wide receiver. These guys are bums.
Come on. Don't you say
I
it.
I said it. Don't you say it. Unless something really happens
don't
in Zach Robinson's
it.
Offense to elevate their games.
They're going to be fine.
Again, that's why when we got Darnell Mooney, I'm like, okay, let me get this straight. Kirk Cousins told you guys to go pick a guy that nobody in Atlanta ever heard of who had a 1,000-yard season 2 years ago, and that's the guy we gave that money to? We could have spent that money on defense.
Maybe they vibed, Mike. They look good in practice. I don't know what's going on.
All right, man. All I know is
thanks, Carl, Turtle, for nothing.
My concern is now Carl's concern, which means Dukes and Bell is
concerned. All right.
Question. Who would you rather have on the team right now, given the state of things? Stephon Gilmore or Darnell Mooney?
Yeah, Stephon Gilmore, a better defender, a shutdown corner opposite A.J. Terrell, who's out there right now on the float.
And you know what? I think – you ready for a little hot take here, boys? I think Casey Washington not only makes the team, but I get agree. Some snaps at wide receiver for this. So you wasted the money on Darnell Mooney.
I agree. But I also think it's situational. I don't think he starts in games and you're going to see him get plays, but it's situational. I shouldn't be concerned about this at all. But all of a sudden now I'm like, Drake and Pitts and Darnell.
Well, I mean, Darnell
what?
Mooney, this guy's got
to run the football.
They're going to run the football. That's for darn sure.
We are going to run the ball.
But 3 years, $39 million, $15 million signing bonus, $26 million guaranteed for a guy that nobody in Atlanta ever heard of.
Why are you all up in this man's bank account?
I wanted that money to go to edge rush and to corner.
You are all up in this man's
hey,
account.
Man. I mean, you're making it sound.
Let this man live.
When this guy came in, you made it sound like we had Michael Irvin and Alvin Harper out there, man.
What's up,
you're
Darnell?
Like, this is Stallworth and Swan out there, man. This is some dude. He's just a dude.
All right. I hope not. I hope it's more.
I hope he's going to be a star. You know what would be great? How about this? How about we can laugh, ha, 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 about you and I talking about this on July 31st, and both these cats have 1,000 yards.
Drake London,
Mooney. And that's the only way to validate that contract.
I hope so. Can we hear from Kirk Cousins while we're talking about this, Big O, back at the studio? He updated us on the ankle today. I want you to hear what he said because everybody keeps talking about how healthy he is. Is he healthy? Where is he at? How far along is he? Kirk Cousins was asked that today, and here's what he said.
Yeah, the ankle's coming. Even since the last time I spoke here, I think it's stronger, more athletic, more dynamic. So I think the thought of play football to rehab it has been a great plan because I think that's what I need. And I still got more to go, but I'm moving well and able to play the position. I took off today during a little two-minute period, was able to run and felt no worse for the wear, felt like I was still moving well. So I think I might have given Coach Rob a bit of a heart attack, but I felt good, so he can rest assured knowing that. You know, it's different getting hit, you know, and I got a red jersey on right now. So when we get hit, you know, you got to be strong enough to be able to really stand underneath the weight of not just you, but of a D lineman. And so that's kind of where I'm trying to get. The timing, you know, I think it is a work in progress. I think when you put the pads on and you got Grady Jarrett pass rushing and you've got some other variables, you know, it's not the style that it is in OTAs when you're out there just in shorts and a T-shirt and less of a rush. So we've got to get everything really dialed in, and we just have to keep stacking the days to be able to do that.
And that's something that the coach said a few days ago when we asked him about just how are we going to see Kirk Cousins, and he said, well, we're going to get some benchmarks here and there. Then Kirk says, no, they're not playing me. But in this case, Kirk Cousins, you know, he's not 100%. I mean, he looks good. Here's the thing, Carl, you, me, the guys in the media, we've never seen Kirk Cousins in practice before. So I don't know what a Kirk Cousins practice is supposed to look like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks before the season starts. But he does get the ball out. It does not come out as quickly as Penix, because Penix is younger. And he's just, you know, more athletic in that sense. It's the other guy's coming off an Achilles injury.
I agree.
But we've already seen, to your point earlier, Kirk Cousins makes some beautiful throws, dropping dimes, threading the needle. Was Ray McLeod we talked about? He's made some beautiful throws in practice too.
Yeah, I do like. And here's the thing that I think I will take away from this conversation with the wide receivers and where we're at. The deep ball will be in play. We have literally two guys that throw beautiful deep balls. Whether these balls are caught and how they get delivered, as far as, you know, his Cousins running for his life and all of that, I don't see that. I think they're going to protect him. I think he'll get it out quick. But, Mike, the point is taking shots down the field, making teams respect the fact that we have guys that can take the top off the defense. That is going to be key. And, by the way, if you have to play that, and if Pitts is the guy we think he is, all of a sudden Drake London is your third down possession.
Right.
He's making all that stuff underneath and catching all those balls. And then you start playing that, and guess what? There's that wheel route out of the backfield that you loved last year.
Right, right.
It opens up all of this stuff.
Yeah, man, look, we thought last year, we were telling you how imaginative we thought this offense was going to be, all the mismatches, and it just never materialized. Just spotty it did. Like that pass play in New Orleans you just talked about. I think Zach Robinson's got a handle on this. He talks about using Algier, talking about using Pitts. Happy with Pitts, by the way. Still talking about Pitts blocking and his role in a traditional tight end role, which, based on our conversation about wide receiver, I'm not so sure I like that. I want to see Pitts out there down the field.
It's valid. You guys can let us know what you think. When we come back, we're gaining ground, and maybe it's our time to do something in this division. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The most important story of the day, brought to you by MaximumCashHomeBuyers.com. Fair cash offers for as-is homes. Don't waste your time with repairs. Call 678-902-2000.
Is it our turn to go on a run? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Look, I was out last night, yesterday, and I know that Mike talked a lot about this trade for Solaire and for Luke Jackson. And here's my deal. I don't think this trade necessarily boosts you and puts you in a position to win a World Series. Mm-hmm. Can they help? Absolutely, Mike. But I said this all along, and today is a prime example of what we've been talking about. Braves win. They win the series against Milwaukee. But this gets back to the core of your team and the guys that you expect to produce. And if they do, whether it's Riley or it's Olsen who produced today, Mike, you are going to have a legitimate shot. Yes, Jorge Soler can help us at the top of the lineup. Fine. You added a bat. Sure, Luke Jackson can come out of the bullpen and help us. I don't have any problems with that. But this idea, like, those are the moves that will help you get to a World Series, Mike, it's going to be the core of your team hitting. And, again, we don't even know when Harris is coming back.
No, Money Harris, I mean, another 2 weeks. It's almost like the money pit. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Two more weeks. Look, and when he comes back, he's got to hit the ground running. He's got to start hitting. You know, Ozzie Albies, the best hope is he'll be before the playoffs, so that's end of September. And then how does Ozzie respond? I mean, we need to get some pop in that second base position.
That's a good point.
But you're right, though. I mean, Matt Olson has got to be more consistent. We've seen some really streaky stuff from Matt Olson, and I hope it isn't like, you know, every other year we go through this, because last year he was rock solid. You can't argue about any of that. Austin Riley's been great. We talked about Murph. Murph does not hit. Murph is batting .217 for the month. So Murphy's got to find a way out of this, too, because I know you and I talked about this, I think, on Monday. Chris and I were chopping up a little bit. The more I look at it, the Contreras trade doesn't look so good. And I know Contreras is not as good a defensive catcher.
With the cards.
But Contreras, you know, yeah, and you know, it's just Murphy just doesn't hit. I know he can throw anybody out, but you cannot have the whole – for how many years, the last 4 years, 7, 8, 9 has been our strength. It's kind of become a black hole.
Yeah. I think when you look at this race now, and by the way, Phillies lose to the Yankees. So if you're going, okay, what's that about? They've lost 4 in a row, 11 of their last 15. Coming in today, I said it was 10 of 14. They lose today, it's 11 of 15. Mm. And now the lead is 6.5. All I'm telling you is that for whatever we were saying, and not just us, everybody. I don't know if we'll win this division. We may not, and we still might not.
Right.
But all of a sudden, we're within striking distance, and that is something I didn't think we'd be talking about heading into August. It's August 1st tomorrow. Right. I did not think we'd be talking about that with us being 6.5 behind.
When the Mets, when they lost those two games up in New York on Thursday and Friday, it seemed like we're about to be like 12 games behind the Phillies, right?
Correct.
So you're 6.5 up on Philly. Turtle mentioned earlier, Bryce Harper's in a slump right now, 1-for-30. And they're going to go play Seattle. Not a juggernaut, but they're the best team in that division. They're 500 games over .500. They got pitching, as Grant mentioned. We're getting the Marlins, and they fire-sailed the Marlins. So we got to win 3 out of 4, sweep the Marlins,
you
Carl.
Do.
Don't monkey around with it and really make some hay. But Soler, anytime a guy comes in, a trade, even if it's a guy that, as you said, maybe statistically isn't really popping, it does kind of seem to respond to it.
Well,
and now the Braves just win 2 out of 3 against a really good Milwaukee team.
I think more than anything, and this is going to sound weird, you know, for some guys who say, okay, a guy comes in, whether he's hitting or not, what difference does it make? Guys in that clubhouse know that management, specifically AA, still believes that they can win a world championship, that they can be World Series champions by doing something versus
right.
doing nothing. So even that little bit that he did is enough to have guys in that clubhouse to say, you know what, we do have enough. And he just gave us a little bit more. There's no reason why we shouldn't go out and try to get this thing done. By the way, Harper today, 0-for-5 against the Yankees. Their best player is not playing his best. Sound familiar, Braves fans?
Right, exactly what we've been dealing with.
Yes, so if that's not happening for us, you know where we've been. If that's not happening for the Phillies, yes, I think they have a great team. I still think they're the best team in the National League just by the way that the season's gone. But, Mike, maybe this is our opportunity to make some room.
Right. They had some pitching, you know, a team which kind of like, you know, basically dotted the I's and crossed the T's, the trade deadline. They got their closer. They got a long setup man who can maybe be a sixth starter. So they got some pitching. But, yeah, there was no way they were going to be bulletproof through 162.
No.
And, again, I think as Grant and you and I have said, you know, the back of your baseball card, you sometimes the Braves are creeping back towards that equilibrium where they should be, hopefully. And then, you know, it's baseball. You know, one team is red hot. One team is ice cold. Neither one is going to stay the same all season long. So back to the initial point, beat up on the bad Marlins team. Let's see a good outing from Max Fried. Let's not have to worry about bringing up more guys from AAA every other, you know, fifth or sixth day. That's another part of it. So good things now happening for the Bravos, including today. For the first time since Javi Lopez and Andrew Jones, we had back-to-back home runs from the same two guys twice in one game with Matt Olson and Travis d'Arnaud doing it today in Milwaukee.
What about Bryce Elder? How much of a help can he be? Because he looked really good.
And the knock on Bryce Elder, Carl, is by the time another team sees him the third or fourth time, they figured him out, or he's not adapting with his mixing up of his pitches because he's not overpowering. That's the best, I think, outing he's had as far as late in the game and how he handled it. I know he had to leave the game with guys in scoring position, but I thought it was a great outing.
It was. We're talking about last night with Bryce Elder. Today it was Sale, and I think that the rotation is just not as big of an issue for me, I don't believe, as we head into August and even September. I felt all along that that Alex and, more importantly, the front office felt like the rotation was going to be fine. It was going to figure itself out if Schwellenbach was going to be able to pitch well for you.
And he's gotten better and better.
He has. And that, to me, was the kicker. It's why they didn't trade for a frontline starter. And here's the deal. And I said this to you guys maybe even last week. When you're evaluating these guys, what you have to say to yourself is the guy we're bringing in better overwhelmingly, not just a little bit, overwhelmingly better than the guy we have?
Right.
And they didn't feel like anybody that they would have brought in is better, gives them a better opportunity than Schwellenbach. On top of that, Mikey's one of the top prospects in the organization. Here's your opportunity.
Right. Go do it. And, you know, we've gone round and round for the last 6 or 7 years about everybody, you know, who's had a chance, from Sean Newcomb and, you know, Tuki Toussaint and Fulton Avich and everybody you thought was going to be the guy. Bryce Elder was an all-star last year, only to lose all that momentum. And, you know, A.J. Smith-Shawver, hopefully he's going to be the guy. Is Ian Anderson ever going to get back to the show and pitch? Hopefully this year, yes. So there's a lot of moving parts, but you're right. Consistency and belong. Schwellenbach has gotten better and better. Tom Glavin talked about it. You know, he took his lumps his rookie year.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in a pennant race and you're down 8.5 games behind the Phillies, no one's got the patience to watch you struggle. Bryce Elder, the other night, last night, just one earned run, just 5 hits, through 6 1/3. That's the best he's looked since they brought him back up. And now, again, does the yo-yo thing mess with his head? Hopefully, you know, it'd be nice to see some stability. Some of these guys can't handle that. You think that's part of the problem?
I do.
But you don't, as we said, you've got to hopefully stabilize the pitching. Also, guys, the one last nugget on this one is I think that we try guys. And I said, just don't be afraid to throw some stuff on the wall and see if it sticks. Okay, Nacho didn't work. Nacho's not ready for the big time yet.
It's fine.
He comes back to Gwinnett, but that doesn't mean he's never, ever going to be the guy at some point in this team.
404-726-0929. Big O back at the studio. Let's hear Double A talk about why he traded back for Soler and also not finding starting pitching at the trade deadline. These are two big questions. Why Soler? Why are you going back to the well? He was on with the Steakhouse. Full interviews on Odyssey.com. But this is Alex Anthopoulos answering that question about Soler.
We want to go into next season with another right-handed bat. Look, Adam Duvall was an everyday player in 2023 and had a great year for the Red Sox. Obviously signed late, didn't get off to the start he wanted to and so on, but it was an injury and ended up getting playing time. So over 162, trade deadline, all that kind of stuff. It's always a good thing to have more good players, and Snit's very good at being able to balance out playing time and things like that. And I can pretty much guarantee ahead of time there will be players next year that spend time on the IL.
There will be, and he's talking about thinking about now and also the future. One other thing from Alex Anthopoulos here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Why not find starting pitching at the trade deadline? This, again, is on Braves.com, but you can check it out and check out the full interview again on Odyssey.com. Here's Double A.
We explored rotation stuff, but, you know, it was if we could get a frontline starter or someone like that, you find room for those guys, right? We would have just, we had some contingencies and so on, but we didn't get close. But we still had discussions up until the last hour.
Okay. So,
he's looking at stuff. I mean, there was almost all of the moves that were made was pitching related. You know, there were a lot of position players too, but starting pitching, relief pitchers, talked about it yesterday. Everybody was making minor moves. The big one was Flaherty that the Dodgers were able to pull off, but that's a big guy who's going to get a big contract.
Yes.
And so they just weren't prepared to do that. Now, we made the argument, you and I, on Monday, if you're not going to bring Fried back, you could have been in play for Flaherty, send some prospects. He's a proven entity and just pay him. But they're not prepared to do that, at least not right now.
No, not at all. It is interesting to see how all of this shook out. Hopefully we can get some, you know, some production with RBIs and power numbers from Soler. And by the way, if you're wondering, hey, why is he hitting leadoff? He did that. I know you guys don't remember when he was here in 21.
I mean, that's what – I mean, guys want to bang on Snicker. And that's one thing real quick. Baseball managers, I think they get too much heat and too much credit, like anything else. You and I have talked about it. He can't hit for you. He can't run the bases for you. He certainly, if he doesn't call the suicide squeeze, you're not doing it. But, I mean, guys get banging on Snicker. Think about how brilliant it was back in 2021 when guys – the only way the manager looks great is when guys are clutch.
Yeah.
He puts Rosario in a certain spot. He moves Soler, and they responded. I mean, it is what it is. The best baseball team doesn't always win. Last year, Snicker, it was on cruise control with this team, how good they were, until it wasn't. Until we got absolutely unclutch and choked against Philly.
So I think it's smart, and Soler gets some extra at-bats as well.
And you still can't find a lead. Right now, we don't really have a leadoff hitter because Kelnick can't do it. We gave him a shot. He did it for about a month.
Well, he was hot. I mean, here's the deal. You could put him back in there depending on situation, you know, pitching matchups, et cetera. But you're right. We don't have Acuña.
Right. And Ozzy can't do it. There's just nobody really fits that bill right now.
All right, we're going to take a quick
break. Money Harris can't do it when he comes back.
No, and I don't want him to, actually. I want him in that 7, 8, or 9 spot where we were talking about, you know, let's solidify the back half of the lineup. All right, when we come back, they protected him today. I think it's a big deal. You probably don't, but I do. I'm going to tell you about a big fight that happened at an NFL camp today when we get back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at Hooters. We're going to be back here next week.
Monday,
we'll be back here. And then the following week, I think it's 3 days. I think it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday situation. Now, Friday, I do want to let you guys know, Mike and I will be down at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
At the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
For the open practice, it's $5. All the proceeds go towards Emory Healthcare. If you're coming down for the practice, and Mike, I think practice doesn't start till 6.
Chris, we're here in 6 to 8, I believe. But get your butt down there, man. I know Friday traffic in the connector, but just get yourself down there and have some fun. But
come watch practice.
Because as Arthur Blank mentioned in his speaking with the media yesterday, I'm not a meddler, and I'm apologizing you can't come to the practice facility because of all the work that they've done. And again, it's amazing. We talked about how state-of-the-art everything is, where it should be for an NFL team, but they finally got all the work done. That's why there's no fans at Flowery Branch this time around. So the big opportunity from being a second-year high school and now Friday at the the Benz will be there live. If you're, and by the way, if you are there and you do have field access, which a few fans will or otherwise will be down by the field, looking forward to it, man. Going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, come down, say hello.
Hey, real quick, speaking of fans and our good friends, we were just talking during the break to a couple folks about the Hawks, and one of our guys goes, hey, man, he goes, what are the Hawks going to do? And I said, you know what? I'm glad you asked that because real quick, Dyson Daniels is the best player on the Australian national team. We don't know anything about this guy other than he's not playing a lot of minutes, maybe 25 minutes last year for the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Good defensive player, but showing some offensive skills in the Olympics so far, for what it's worth.
It's yes, and it's my fear because he's limited offensively, specifically when you start talking about, you know, can he score, can he create on his own? Mike, he's looked like a guy that's going to come in and help us. He has not looked limited offensively in these Olympics. Now, I'm not sure if we're getting him or if we're getting a guy that's been with the Pelicans for the last 3 years who was a high draft pick and only averaged about, what, 4 or 5 points a game.
Right.
At the end of the day, we just need – if he's going to be a starter, which I think he is, you need production. They wanted to go bigger. They wanted to get better defensively.
The
they feel like he's going to help there.
The ethos that we want to build.
Oh, yeah, please, Landry Fields, please.
And they also felt like he's going to help offensively. If he does that, they might be on to something.
Well, again, Matt, we need some defensive help for Trey. We do think he's a really good defender. Statistically, he sure is. But, yeah, I wasn't expecting any scoring. If we get some scoring, that's like gravy, man. That's a bonus. Reese Shade, you know, that's a work in progress. But just something to think about. Dyson Daniels in the Olympics is making people notice him.
No,
that's not bad.
You know, he's looked halfway decent. Right. I can't debate that. All right, real quick. And, by the way, John Freaky's coming up after we get done here at 7. And we got a big show for you tomorrow as well. We're back in studio tomorrow and then Friday out at Mercedes-Benz. So, huge fight breaks out today at Steelers camp. Why? Late hit on Justin Fields. They're running plays. They hit Justin late. All of a sudden, here come his offensive linemen. And it's on. And it's on social media. You can see it. And I said to Mike today, say what you want, but to me, this screams they like Justin a lot. You can say they're just protecting their quarterback. Guys, I've been to 25 camps in my life. There have been guys that have been hit, and the offensive linemen don't give a damn. They don't run over there. They don't protect him. This, to me, was a statement about, hey, he's likable. We're digging whatever Justin's putting down, Mike.
Right.
And that's our quarterback. So we haven't seen Russ because he's been hampered with this injury.
Yes, he had some sand in his – yes. But could it be perhaps some of those players already alienated by Russell Wilson?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean
– maybe. I don't know. But
seems to alienate people everywhere he goes. I'm just curious. But you're right. People rallying around Fields.
They
That's
are.
What you saw. I mean, this was not your garden variety pushing and shoving. Guys are swinging, man.
So, you know, for the Steelers, listen, Tomlin would be like, yeah, you know, Melee, he doesn't want that stuff. But as a coach, you do want to see guys taking up for your guys. You want to see your teammate, you know, again, coming over and your quarterback gets sacked, Mike, and picking him up. Not everybody else just walking off the field.
Right.
So there's something to be said about this just from a camaraderie standpoint and where Justin is right now as far as the pecking order. And I'll say this, Atlanta, I'm not going to be surprised if he comes in here week one and is a starter. I'm just not.
Well, he just seems like more of a Mike Tomlin guy than Russell Wilson. Mike Tomlin doesn't want that nonsense. I mean, we've heard – Mike Tomlin, this guy really, he could probably write a book on sports psychology. For all the wackadoodle head cases he's had to deal with from Antonio Bryant and Le'Veon Bell and Ben Roethlisberger.
Correct.
You know, and Juju Smith-Schuster and everybody else who complains and plays wide receiver, dealing with Perkins now. I mean, there's a lot of – the point I'm getting to is this guy, I think if he had his druthers, would love to see Justin Fields win the job.
I don't know if he will. I just feel like they're going to give him an opportunity. And by the way, you missing all this camp doesn't help.
Right.
It just doesn't. Like, you know, we just think, guys, again, there's no financial commitment. They're not paying Russ 30, 80, 40, 70, whatever you want to say. They're giving him – he's a million-dollar guy. Broncos paid all that money. So he comes in. The Steelers, there's no obligation to him, Mike. So come in and prove yourself. If I'm hurt and I can't do that and this kid is playing better, he's younger – we can roll with this.
It'd be kind of fun to be on our sister station in Pittsburgh right now. I got to tell you, Russell Wilson, a calf muscle. Did you not see Simone Biles last night?
She was great.
Calf muscle.
She was great.
She just won Olympic gold.
You know, it's true.
11 feet in the air, she jumped with a bad calf.
She's so, great.
I mean, there you go. There's your Sparky the Sportscaster in Pittsburgh.
We'll see how it plays out. And by the way, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is when they come in here. We just need to find a way
to Arthur Smith. That's the number one
thing. Find a way to get it
Cannot
done.
Lose to Arthur Smith in week one. But we were just talking, Alex and the gang, guys are just saying that the first five games are tough. The first quarter of the season, I know it's 17 weeks. It's, dude, we never win in Philly. We're playing the world champs, and we got the Steelers pass rush to contend with in week one.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, defensively, Mike, you're facing what? T.J. Watt in
right.
week one.
Hayward. Yeah.
And Hayward. In week two, that defensive front.
The entire Georgia defensive line is
coming
at you.
Maybe the best in the NFL.
Right.
And then in week three, you got Chris Jones, who nobody can block right now. He's the best defensive tackle in the league, period. That's what you're facing.
So, again, we're going to have a plan. And certainly, I can't wait to see how Zach Robinson is able to use all these elements we've talked about. By the way, we were talking earlier in the hour about our wide receiver room and saying, are these guys going to be that good? Dave Archer tweeted earlier this hour talking about the guys who's impressed at camp, and one of the guys was Darnell Mooney.
What's up, Darnell?
In the short few weeks of practice we've seen.
Yeah, I've been impressed, too. It's just sometimes you get caught up in – is this really going to work? Like, that's why you have to have that full conviction that they have. I'm talking about the Falcons.
Right.
And saying, these are our guys, and this is what we're going to go with, and this is how it's going to work. As a fan, you sit back and you go, is this really going to work? Mm-hmm. You start looking at these guys. But he has had a really good camp. I can't debate that. For what we've seen so far, it's funny. Mm-hmm. We were looking at some deep balls earlier, and it was like, yeah, that's what he's going to do in the game. I hope so. That's, yes. That's what we need.
I mean, like I said, my beef with it was just I wasn't trying to be a Weisenheimer. I was not that familiar with Darnell Mooney's work for the money that we paid him, but they think it's a good fit. All now, 100%, all we know is what we think we're going to see from Zach Robinson. Zach Robinson has never been an offensive coordinator.
True.
If there's something to certainly feel good about, is everybody's come on the offensive side of Sean McVay's coaching tree has been successful in this league. And
well,
Zach Robinson is impressive to talk to.
He is.
He's impressive in press conferences. I think he's got a handle on it.
I think he's going to be good. I just feel like if you spend 5 years with Einstein,
something's going to rub off.
You're right. Going to pick up something.
Right.
And that's really what Sean McVay has been the last, you know, 5 or 6 years in the NFL. Remember, dude's been to a Super Bowl and won one already. And, you
right.
know, you go, okay, Sean McVay knows what he's doing, specifically from an offensive standpoint. Hey, man, today, by the way, if you missed any of our interviews, go online at Odyssey.com. Joe Patrick was talking about what happened today at practice. And if you missed that, I think the main thing more than anything was that Kirk Cousins says, I'm coming along with that ankle.
Right.
That's the main concern.
Yeah, and again, as I said earlier, not trying to sit there and be, Mr. Controversy. It's just that Penix's ball comes out faster because one guy's got an Achilles, one guy's, 20 years or 10 years younger. So I think it's just you'd expect to see that early in camp.
All right, guys, we're live at Hooters. It's Dukes and Bell.
Hooters.
We got to get out of here and clear our throat.
Hooters.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
Tomorrow, by the way, we're going to get a chance to talk to our boy James Palmer, NFL insider. Brett Boone's going to join us, too.
Cool.
He's been saying all year, you guys are spoiled with the Braves.
Right.
Okay, maybe he was right. I mean, maybe he was like, was there an overreaction? No. I feel like we have been in this rut.
Right.
And now maybe we're coming out of it, hopefully.
And a week ago, they're ready to run his brother out of New York. After the way they looked against the Mets, they just swept the Phillies.
Yeah,
the Yankees are suddenly feeling good with Chaz Chisholm.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Is John there, by the way? Can we talk to John quickly? Okay.
Because we're both on remote.
Oh, that's right.
He's remote from his beautiful, stately, tricky manor.
Yeah, well, good luck tonight, John. I heard you had some technical difficulties. We hope you stick around, and he's got a lot of stuff for you. Hey, Gordon, great job today, as always, our on-site engineer. Turtle is our executive producer. Tomorrow we're back in studio Friday, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Make sure you come out. And, hey, a big shout-out to all of you guys coming out here, man. Appreciate you.
Give yourself a round of applause,
man. Put your hands
man.
Together. Thank you guys for coming out here. Appreciate everybody coming out and hanging out with us.
What a beautiful, sexy studio audience.
We got to get out of here. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man. We're talking about this earlier, the dynamic between the quarterback and his receivers, and hopefully you create some chemistry. I thought that if you're looking at the Jets, Garrett Wilson kind of did Aaron Rodgers a favor by kind of diffusing a situation which everybody was loading up on last week where he goes, hey, man, you zigged where you should have zagged. And he goes, hey, you should have been here last month for the minicamp. Garrett Wilson saying that he does learn things from Aaron Rodgers, downplay the animated discussion. Somebody can be a diva and can just throw some gasoline on that fire. He tried to take one for the team, it looks like, for the Jets. Because Aaron Rodgers does come off like a diva. He just can't help himself.
No doubt. Hey, everybody just needs to chill with the ego. Team USA is going to be fine, but everybody's worried about playing time. Bam Adebayo came off the bench today. He had 18 points. People were complaining last week Tatum didn't get a chance to play. These are the best players in the world. They're all going to achieve the ultimate goal of winning a gold medal. But if I play 6 minutes or 16, get off of it.
Mm.
Stop tripping with the ego and just understand this is what it is, man. Everybody will get playing
right.
time. They beat South Sudan today, 103-86. That's what I expected, Mike.
All right, man.
Hey, if you love the show.
You tell your friends.
if you don't.
Your favorite South Sudanese player just got trucked by LeBron James.
We are live at Hooters. We're going to be back here next week.
Monday, right? Monday,
we'll be back here. And then the following week, I think it's 3 days. I think it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday situation. Now, Friday, I do want to let you guys know, Mike and I will be down at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
At the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yeah.
For the open practice, it's $5. All the proceeds go towards Emory Healthcare. If you're coming down for the practice, and Mike, I think practice doesn't start till 6.
Chris, we're here in 6 to 8, I believe. But get your butt down there, man. I know Friday traffic in the connector, but just get yourself down there and have some fun. But
come watch practice.
Because as Arthur Blank mentioned in his speaking with the media yesterday, I'm not a meddler, and I'm apologizing you can't come to the practice facility. Because of all the work that they've done, and again, it's amazing. We talked about how state-of-the-art everything is, where it should be for an NFL team, but they finally got all the work done. That's why there's no fans at Flowery Branch this time around. So the big opportunity from being a second-year high school, and now Friday at the Benz, we'll be there live. And by the way, if you are there and you do have field access, which a few fans will or otherwise, we'll be down by the field. Looking forward to it, man. Going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, come down, say hello.
Hey, real quick, speaking of fans and our good friends, we were just talking during the break to a couple folks about the Hawks, and one of our guys goes, hey, man, he goes, what are the Hawks going to do? And I said, you know what? I'm glad you asked that, because real quick, Dyson Daniels is the best player on the Australian national team. We don't know anything about this guy other than he's not playing a lot of minutes, maybe 25 minutes last year for the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Good defensive player, but showing some offensive skills in the Olympics so far, for what it's worth.
It's yes, and it's my fear, because he's limited offensively, specifically when you start talking about, you know, can he score, can he create on his own? Mike, he's looked like a guy that's going to come in and help us. He has not looked limited offensively in these Olympics. Now, I'm not sure if we're getting him or if we're getting a guy that's been with the Pelicans for the last 3 years who was a high draft pick and only averaged about, 4 or 5 points a game.
Right.
At the end of the day, we just need – if he's going to be a starter, which I think he is, you need production. They wanted to go bigger. They wanted to get better defensively.
The
they feel like he's going to help there.
The ethos that we want to build.
Oh, yeah, please, Landry Fields, please.
And they also felt like he's going to help offensively. If he does that, they might be on to something.
Well, again, Matt, we need some defensive help for Trey. We do think he's a really good defender. Statistically, he sure is. But, yeah, I wasn't expecting any scoring. If we get some scoring, that's like gravy, man. That's a bonus. Reese O'Shea, you know, that's a work in progress. But just something to think about. Dyson Daniels in the Olympics is making people notice him.
No,
so that's not bad.
You know, he's looked halfway decent. Right. I can't debate that. All right, real quick. And, by the way, John Freaky's coming up after we get done here at 7. And we got a big show for you tomorrow as well. We're back in studio tomorrow and then Friday out at Mercedes-Benz. So, huge fight breaks out today at Steelers camp. Why? Late hit on Justin Fields. They're running plays. They hit Justin late. All of a sudden, here come his offensive linemen. And it's on. And it's on social media. You can see it. And I said to Mike today, say what you want, but to me, this screams they like Justin a lot. You can say they're just protecting their quarterback. Guys, I've been to 25 camps in my life. There have been guys that have been hit, and the offensive linemen don't give a damn. They don't run over there. They don't protect him. This, to me, was a statement about, hey, he's likable. We're digging whatever Justin's putting down, Mike.
Right.
And that's our quarterback. So we haven't seen Russ because he's been hampered with this injury.
Yes, he had some sand in his – yes. But could it be perhaps some of those players already alienated by Russell Wilson?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean –
maybe. I don't know.
But seems to alienate people everywhere he goes. I'm just curious. But you're right. People rallying around Fields.
They
That's
are.
What you saw. I mean, this was not your garden variety pushing and shoving. Guys are swinging, man.
So, you know, for the Steelers, listen, Tomlin would be like, yeah, you know, Melee, he doesn't want that stuff. But as a coach, you do want to see guys taking up for your guys. You want to see your teammate, you know, again, coming over when your quarterback gets sacked, Mike, and picking him up. Not everybody else just walking off the field.
Right.
So there's something to be said about this just from a camaraderie standpoint and where Justin is right now as far as the pecking order. And I'll say this, Atlanta, I'm not going to be surprised if he comes in here week one and is a starter. I'm just not.
Well, he just seems like more of a Mike Tomlin guy than Russell Wilson. Mike Tomlin doesn't want that nonsense. I mean, we've heard – Mike Tomlin, this guy really, he could probably write a book on sports psychology. For all the wackadoodle head cases he's had to deal with from Antonio Bryant and Le'Veon Bell and Ben Roethlisberger.
Correct.
You know, and Juju Smith-Schuster and everybody else who complains and plays wide receiver, dealing with Perkins now. I mean, there's a lot of – the point I'm getting to is this guy, I think if he had his druthers, would love to see our boy, but Justin Fields win the job.
I don't know if he will. I just feel like they're going to give him an opportunity. And by the way, you missing all this camp doesn't help.
Right.
It just doesn't. Like, you know, we just think, guys, again, there's no financial commitment. They're not paying Russ 30, right. 80, 40, 70, whatever you want to say. They're giving him – he's a million-dollar guy. Broncos paid all that money. So he comes in. The Steelers, there's no obligation to him, Mike. So come in and prove yourself. If I'm hurt and I can't do that and this kid is playing better, right. He's younger – we can roll with this.
It'd be kind of fun to be on our sister station in Pittsburgh right now. I got to tell you, Russell Wilson, a calf muscle. Did you not see Simone Biles last night?
She was great.
Calf muscle.
She was great.
She just won Olympic gold.
It's true.
11 feet in the air, she jumped with a bad calf.
She's great. I mean,
there you go. There's your Sparky the Sportscaster in Pittsburgh.
We'll see how it plays out. And by the way, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is when they come in here. We just need to find a way
we
to
just
get
can't
it
lose
done.
To Arthur Smith. That's
gotta
the number
find
one
a way to get it
cannot
done.
Lose to Arthur Smith in week one. But we were just talking, Alex and the gang, guys are just saying that, you know, the first five games are tough. The first quarter of the season, I know it's 17 weeks. It's, dude, we never win in Philly. We're playing the world champs, and we got the Steelers pass rush to contend with in week one.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, defensively, Mike, you're facing what? T.J. Watt in week one. And Hayward. In week two, that defensive front.
The entire Georgia defensive line
may be the best in the NFL.
Right.
And then in week three, you got Chris Jones, who nobody can block right now. He's the best defensive tackle in the league, period. That's what you're facing.
So, again, we're going to have a plan. And certainly I can't wait to see how Zach Robinson is able to use all these elements we've talked about. By the way, we were talking earlier in the hour about our wide receiver room and saying, are these guys going to be that good? Dave Archer tweeted earlier this hour talking about the guys who's impressed at camp, and one of the guys was Darnell Mooney.
What's up, Darnell?
In the short few weeks of practice we've seen.
Yeah, I've been impressed too. It's just sometimes you get caught up in – is this really going to work? Like, that's why you have to have that full conviction that they have. I'm talking about the Falcons.
Right.
And saying, these are our guys, and this is what we're going to go with, and this is how it's going to work. As a fan, you sit back and you go, is this really going to work? Mm-hmm. You start looking at these guys. But he has had a really good camp. I can't debate that. For what we've seen so far, it's funny. Mm-hmm. We were looking at some deep balls earlier, and it was like, yeah, that's what he's going to do in the game. I hope so. That's, yes. That's what we need.
Well, I mean, like I said, my beef with it was just I wasn't trying to be a Weisenheimer. I was not that familiar with Darnell Mooney's work for the money that we paid him, but they think it's a good fit. All now, 100%, all we know is what we think we're going to see from Zach Robinson. Zach Robinson has never been an offensive coordinator.
True.
If there's something to certainly feel good about is everybody's come on the offensive side of Sean McVay's coaching tree has been successful in this league. And Zach Robinson is impressive to talk to.
He is.
He's impressive in press conferences. I think he's got a handle on it.
I think he's going to be good. I just feel like if you spend 5 years with Einstein,
something's going to rub off.
You're going to pick up something.
Right.
And that's really what Sean McVay has been the last, you know, 5 or 6 years in the NFL. Remember, dude's been to a Super Bowl and won one already. And, you know, you go, okay, Sean McVay knows what he's doing, specifically from an offensive standpoint. Hey, man, today, by the way, if you missed any of our interviews, go online at Odyssey.com. Joe Patrick was talking about what happened today at practice. And if you missed that, I think the main thing more than anything was that Kirk Cousins says, I'm coming along with that ankle.
Right.
That's the main concern.
Yeah, and again, as I said earlier, I'm not trying to sit there and be, Mr. Controversy. It's just that Penix's ball comes out faster because one guy's got an Achilles, one guy's, 20 years or 10 years younger. So I think it's just you'd expect to see that early in camp.
All right, guys, we're live at Hooters. It's Dukes and Bell.
Hooters.
We
got to
get out of here and clear our throat.
Hooters.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tomorrow, by the way, we're going to get a chance to talk to our boy James Palmer, NFL insider. Brett Boone's going to join us too.
Cool.
He's been saying all year, you guys are spoiled with the Braves.
Right.
Okay, maybe he was right. I mean, maybe he was like, was there an overreaction? No. I feel like we have been in this rut.
Right.
And now maybe we're coming out of it, hopefully.
And a week ago, they're ready to run his brother out of New York. After the way they looked against the Mets, they just swept the Phillies.
Yeah.
The Yankees all of a sudden feeling good with Chaz Chisholm.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Is John there, by the way? Can we talk to John quickly? Okay.
Because we're both on remote.
Oh, that's right.
He's remote from his beautiful, stately, tricky manor.
Yeah, well, good luck tonight, John. I heard you had some technical difficulties. We hope you stick around, and he's got a lot of stuff for you. Hey, Gordon, great job today, as always, our on-site engineer. Turtle is our executive producer. Tomorrow we're back in studio Friday, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Make sure you come out. And, hey, a big shout-out to all of you guys coming out here, man. Appreciate you.
Give yourself a round of applause,
put your hands
man.
Together. Thank you guys for coming out here. Appreciate everybody coming out and hanging out with us.
All right, man. Beautiful, sexy studio audience.
We got to get out of here. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man. We're talking about this earlier, you know, the dynamic between the quarterback and his receivers, and hopefully you create some chemistry. I thought that if you're looking at the Jets, Garrett Wilson kind of did Aaron Rodgers a favor by kind of diffusing a situation which everybody was loading up on last week, where he goes, hey, man, you zigged where you should have zagged. And he goes, hey, you should have been here last month for the minicamp. Garrett Wilson saying that he does learn things from Aaron Rodgers, downplay the animated discussion. You know, somebody can be a diva and could just throw some gasoline on that fire. He tried to take one for the team, it looks like, for the Jets. Because Aaron Rodgers does come off like a diva. He just can't help himself.
No doubt. Hey, everybody just needs to chill with the ego. Team USA is going to be fine, but everybody's worried about playing time. Bam Adebayo came off the bench today. He had 18 points. People were complaining last week Tatum didn't get a chance to play. These are the best players in the world. They're all going to achieve the ultimate goal of winning a gold medal. But if I play 6 minutes or 16, get off of it. Mm. Stop tripping with the ego and just understand this is what it is, man. Everybody will get playing right. time. They beat South Sudan today, 103-86. That's what I expected, Mike.
All right, man.
Hey, if you love the show.
You tell your friends.
If you don't.
Your favorite South Sudanese player just got trucked by LeBron James.